in your relationship to Sue and Lonnie?
Hi, my name is Mike Carpenter. I'm Lonnie and Sue Carpenter's son, youngest son. And this is my wife, Shelley.
And we've been married for 6 years. Been together 9.
You can look at me when you talk. So.
Okay.
All right, so I have been collecting stories from Sue and Lonnie about their experience post-atomic bomb. But what do you know about what Sue has experienced?
I know she was young. My mom was young when the atomic bomb hit. And I think she lost a sister in the bomb. And I know that, if I remember this, what I was told right, is that she was trapped underneath the house when the bomb hit, so her older brother and her mom had to dig her out, free her from the debris of the house. And that's what I, that's what I was told.
When did you hear that first?
The story that about her, her brother and her mom had to free her from the house, was I heard that first probably about 9 years ago, on exactly what happened.
So what, how old were you?
I was 29. But I knew that she lived through the bombing since I was a little kid when I lived in Japan, because all her relatives are all, I spent a lot of time in Nagasaki, and I knew all about the bombing and everything since I was a little boy. So.
But you didn't know the significance of it, or?
At that time I didn't, I was too young to really know the how, you know, devastating it was and everything, until I learned it through the, you know, reading on the books and watching some of the movies and documentaries and stuff about how significant it was and how devastating it was.
And then, so she basically didn't tell you the details until you were 29.
Yeah, she tried it, not to overwhelm me with the details and stuff. You know, until I'm older, to understand it more and stuff. So,
wow. Why do you think she did that?
Maybe because I didn't ask when I was younger. I didn't ask. You know, like I used to be in the military. They have don't ask, don't tell. You know, I figured she would tell me when she's ready to tell me. So, that's why.
So you weren't mad or anything when she didn't
No.
kept it secret from you?
No, I wasn't mad. There's no reason to be mad, because I've seen, you know, when I was growing up, I've seen the, you know, my mom's, she's been sick a lot and everything, and seen her, when I was growing up, all the trouble she's been through and everything. So I figured when she wants to tell me exactly what happened, she will. And never got mad about that. There's no reason to get mad.
Then what triggered her to tell you that story?
Asking questions.
So you asked?
Yeah.
And it was just you and her, or in front of Sandra? Or?
No, Sandra was already out of the house. It was just, you know, I just asked what happened, what exactly happened. I was just curious, wanted to know, and that's it. And she told me.
Was it difficult for her to tell you that?
Well, it took her a while to get everything out, to tell me. But I think it was a little bit, you know, making her remember, a little bit difficult for remembering exactly what happened. But she finally did. Because I can understand there's a lot of, you know, a lot of painful memories from back then. So.
That's the impression I get, too. Because she's talked to me, too. But it's been gradual over the years.
In what context has she told you?
Just chatting. We've chatted about, you know, family and, I come from a large family, and then she would start talking about her brothers and sisters growing up, and it's been over the years, though. You know, just recently she had spoken about, I got the impression she was found by a soldier, and I know her leg was really messed up, and I just let her talk, you know, I don't ask questions, but it's been gradual over the years. It isn't just like I came into the family and then she started confiding in me. It's been gradual over the years, and she, and I agree with my husband. I think it's, you know, it's been a while, and for her to talk about the pain of losing her sister and coming to terms with all the medical things that are going on with her now, it's difficult, you know, for her. That's the impression. And I've never asked her. She's just, one way or another, we've just led into the conversation where she's told me things that have happened. Things that happened when she was younger. I know she said with her leg damage that her parents had, if I understood the story correctly, kept her out of school because they were afraid that she was going to be made fun of. And I believe she told me that a teacher would visit her so she could still get her education. But because of the damage to her leg, her mother decided she didn't want to be made fun of and kept her home. That's the story that I understand. So that was, you know, a whole another ordeal that I'm sure was difficult. And then she was heading into the teenage years, and, you know, physical beauty is so important when you're a teenager, and she felt really self-conscious, and plus I'm sure all the physical ailments that went with it too, you know. But like I said, that just came gradually, you know. 9 years, I think I finally have gotten a story as far as what she went through.
And how did you feel?
Sort of sad for her. You know, I've had my own losses in my life and old things, and so I can relate to her. And I just listen, and sort of, it's surreal, because if you haven't been through it, how do you even say I understand, you know, something like that? You know, we were fortunate when we were growing up that we weren't exposed to any war stuff in our country, and, you know, she was there with the soldiers and everything else, so... maybe I feel empathetic and sad at the same time. So it's been difficult for her, I'm sure.
Yeah. And Michael, maybe you can tell me a little bit about how she was always sick when you were growing up.
Well, she's gone, you know, she has, you know, she can only hear out of one ear, you know, and so many different things. Her high blood pressure, she's been going in and out of the hospitals and stuff. Even since I moved down here 3 years ago to Vegas, I've been on pins and needles sometimes. Her going in the hospital, staying in the hospital, and, you know, for different things. Doctors can't figure out what's going on. It's just been, you know, it's been keeping me worried. How long am I going to have my mom anymore, you know, for? It's just with a, you know, it's just been many different things. It's hard. It's like when I heard when I was younger, when I was a baby, well, when I was, she was still pregnant with me, she was having a problem with her, what you call equilibrium, you know, getting dizzy and everything. And they didn't know if she was going to make it through the pregnancy with me and stuff.
Didn't she have to stay in the hospital too?
She had to stay in the hospital over in Norfolk.
Rest. Yeah.
Well, Philadelphia or Norfolk for bed rest for the longest time. My dad had to take care of my sister and go back and forth when my sister was a baby to the hospital. I mean, just a whole bunch of things. I mean, since I was born till now. And she just, what you call it, it's just, I mean, when I was living down there in San Diego, it's, I mean, not living at their house, but living in San Diego, it's just been, she's been in the hospital. Missed a lot of school, college, and I failed a whole semester of college, dropped out because she was in the hospital half the time I was in college that semester.
What do you mean, you always had to go to the hospital? Because you had to go to the hospital and...
Make sure, she's worried about how she is, going to the hospital, making sure everything's okay.
I
just couldn't focus on school, my education that semester. So I just took all my classes during the summer again and just got it over with. And it's just, it's been hard on the family. I know it's been hard on my dad, keeping up with all the different medications, have a whole list of medications to take to the doctor so the doctor knows what she's taking. And if they have to give her new medication, it's, you know, it's just, they have to know if it's going to be, they could use that new medication with the one she's already taking. And it's just a lot of things growing up.
But as a child, so it was very even when you were younger, to have, you know, I mean,
she, when I was younger, she didn't try to in front of us show us that she was, you know, her leg was hurting, you know, from what happened. She tried to keep that away from us, you know. She tried to hide it, basically. So, you know, we don't worry as little kids. But we could see it, you know. We could, as little kids, we could see it growing up, you know.
You never felt curious about it, or you never...
As a little kid, I never thought about it. When I started getting older, like in junior high and high school and stuff, you know, you think more and more about it and stuff. So...
What happened when you first learned of atomic bomb in your, like, high school or history class or something like that?
Well, I knew my mom and her family lived through it. Mm-hmm. It was a mixed thing because me being half Japanese, half American, you know, and some kids, you know, they're just pro-American and stuff in class, you know, oh, they deserve it and that kind of stuff. And me defending it, you know, in the terms of I knew the history where, which called, it's like the war could have been prevented, but it was both sides' fault. It's both sides. Americans were doing some things that they shouldn't have been doing, and vice versa. And, you know, it's just, to me, I was defending both sides and trying to make people see, you know, it was wrong for, you know, drop the atomic bomb. But it was wrong, which caused wrong also for Pearl Harbor. But it was inevitable. I can't say the word.
Inevitable.
Yeah. That, you know, it would happen. So it was, when I learned about it, yeah, I studied more about it. Then I started watching, you know, later on, over the years, they started having documentary on it. And watching all the documentary on the, which called the bombing. And it really opened my eyes on what exactly the experience that my mom had and what happened. Just seeing the footage from it and everything, it was real eye-opening. It was devastating just to see what my family went through, and my relatives and stuff went through during the time.
It affected your aunt, what would be your aunt?
Yep.
Died.
Yep.
And,
well, yep.
I mean, how did you... and then you did a military service?
Yes, I was in the Navy for a while,
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And I mean, in the Navy, I wanted to go in the military, get the experience. I worked on electronics on jets in the military. You know, I just wanted to see the world, see what the other world, how it is, and everything, which I did. And just experiencing the different cultures. What I mean, even still in Europe, in some parts, I've seen stuff still from the war. You know, buildings still, you know, some buildings still collapsed from the war, castles and stuff, damages. Just to witness and see what it was like. You know, what happened. What's the after effect?
This may be a stupid question, but was there? I mean, one could, you know, wonder. Did you have, like, a moral question, you know, joining an institution that had once partaken in this, you know, an incident that had a very impact on your mother? I mean, that had once, in a way, it's an institution, but once killed your aunt and, you know, had made your family and your lives very difficult.
Well, one question I always had when, since watching the, knowing about both of the bombing, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, is they didn't have to drop the second bomb. Why did they drop the second bomb? You know, if they wanted to do a message, you know, prove a message, you know, and stuff, you know, they didn't have the devastation of the first bomb, you know, would have been enough. You know, why did they have to, you know, why did they have to do it the second time and kill all the people? That, you know, it was uncalled for. There's no reasoning behind it.
Why did they do it? Why do you think they did it?
I think it was an overkill. What you call it? They just, you know, trying to prove their, you know, to me, the way I describe it is they're trying to, they're overflexing their muscles. You know, trying to, too much to the point. And it's, to me, it was just uncalled for. Yes, I'm proud I served in the American military and everything, but looking at the history and everything, it was just uncalled for, the second bombing.
Yeah.
And that's just how I feel. I mean, the only thing I can see is, you know, we already dropped one bomb. You know, we got to show them again that we could do it again. That's the only thing I could think they're thinking.
Well, these things are, you know, it's a history, and you never know what happened in the White House, I guess. But talk is the main theory is that, you know, it was a plutonium bomb, which is a different type of bomb that was used for Nagasaki, and uranium bomb was one of these for
Hiroshima. Yeah.
So they wanted to try both.
Test both.
And a lot of the reasons suggest that both Hiroshima and Nagasaki was left from the air raids. All the big cities were air raided before, but they're all unharmed. You know. So, you know, theory goes that they wanted to see what the impact is. And the first team that landed there was, you know, a scientist. You know, the first building that was built in Nagasaki, Hiroshima is, you know, this institution that studies on human impact.
Yeah.
And they're still there, actually. So, I mean, you know, the first bomb, the test site, as soon as the test was over, 3 hours later, the bomb was on its way to Guam. I mean, Tinian. So, you know, there's a lot of rush to try to show the results of this Manhattan Project, which they spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
But that's the theory, but, you know. These things are... It happened. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. But
because with me being half American, half Japanese, I try to look at both sides of the picture. You know, I lived first half of my childhood in Japan, second half of my childhood here in the United States. Mm-hmm. So I've seen pros and cons on both sides. I always been like that. Never took side on either way. And it was just. Since I was in the military, I always thought it was, even just for testing out two different type of bombs, it was unnecessary. It was. Because, you know, you got the Geneva Convention, you know, where, you know, that'll even be against Geneva, you know, dropping two bombs like that in different places. You know, it was just ridiculous.
Would you have felt the same way if your mother was not involved in this way?
Yes, I would have. Because to me, you know, life is short as is. You know, why do you need to test something, to kill, you know, a whole population just to test something? You know, humans aren't guinea pigs. They're not. You know, I would have felt the same way. Because I have, you know, with me, I have passion for life, you know, which caught, and that, I would have felt the same way, even if my mom wasn't affected from it, or her family wasn't affected from it. Because to me, it's wrong. Because just like when you caught earlier, we're talking just like the Holocaust, you know, it's just a lot of people don't believe it happened. A lot of the younger generations now don't believe any of this happened. They think it's a fairy tale. And there's millions of family that's been from the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the Holocaust in Europe, you know, is affected from it. And, you know, they can't imagine what the families went through. And being, you know, one of the families that lived through it, I could see what happened, you know. I could see the effects of it. And it's just hard.
What's the hardest impact, do you think, of these things? Of the, let's say, atomic bomb. I mean, when people die, people get burned, people are sick. There's also the psychological.
If I could interject, I think, and again, if you're not my generation and younger, are starting to be so removed from the whole process, you know, World War II, Korean War, Vietnamese wars, all being so far removed that you can't imagine it. But I think since becoming a part of this family and listening to my mother-in-law, I think the devastating thing for me is that there's so much that's not known about, like we had talked about earlier, the effects of the radiation and all the chemicals and everything. So how do you justify dropping these bombs on these cities? It was a test. Well, there's, like my husband was saying, there's human lives involved. So how do you justify that? And how do you keep something like that from happening again? Saying, like he said, you know, human life, are we guinea pigs now? You know? And I think that's the devastating thing as a whole for me, is just looking back and going, we can't forget this stuff happened. We can't justify using, you know, these cities as a testing ground. And since we don't really know the effects, there's so much that needs to be done to prevent it from happening again. Because it could be our families now. Yep. His children that are in the military now. You know, this could be a reality for them. There's so much going on in the world now that you can't just ignore what has gone in the past and forget it. You know, that's just the way I feel about it. Personally, it's my mother-in-law and I love her to death. I see her struggle with her own... I think it is the not knowing, you know, her leg's hurting. Is it from the injuries? Is it a part of the aging process? And nobody can put a finger on it and tell her, yes, Sue, this is what's going on. Even the doctors, like my husband was saying, will throw up their hands and go, we don't know. You know, is it the effects from this? Or is it, you know, we don't know. And that's the scary thing. You don't know. And that's just how I feel. When I can be sympathetic towards her when she's telling me things, but I'm like, you know, doctors who seem are supposed to know better, or at least help her, I can just listen, you know, when she's miserable because she can't get up or she can't walk or, you know, even coming here to Las Vegas and coming to visit, you know, we can't do the things that tourists do here because she can't walk that much and she's got her medicine to take and she's on a timetable for that. You know, is this all the effects? We don't know. So that's what's scary. You know,
and
we don't know.
They still, I mean, after 60, you know, 60-some years, they still don't know the effects, you know?
Yeah.
They still don't know the full effect of what's the aftermath of the bombing. And that's the sad part, you know? That's the sad part. People still, what you call the, you know, yes, the generation that lived through the atomic bomb, they're almost all, you know, in the next 10, 20 years, they're not going to be around anymore. You know, the people that lived in there. And no, the governments still don't know, you know, the full effect of what happened with the people. You know, and like my wife said, the kid, you know, what if it's passed down genetically? You know, they don't know. They do not know. And that's the sad part. It could go on, you know, for generations.
And maybe we can jump into that. So you're second generation. Your
yes.
mother has been exposed to radiation. So there has been, as I said, there has been some studies.
Mm-hmm.
That shows a little bit of that scientifically. And then, you know, there's been a lot of cases with second generation that have higher rates of cancer and whatnot. Have you personally had health symptoms that you may suspect as related to her mother being exposed to radiation? And how do you feel about it?
I really don't know. Only thing, you know, I can't explain on me that hurts once in a while, I don't even tell my wife, is my shin. On my shin right here. Once in a while, right here, I just feel, you know, just pain. You know, I don't tell her. I just live with it once in a while, and just ignore it. You know, my shin. Once in a while, my shin hurts, and I just put up with it. I don't see any reason why, you know, I don't need to go to the doctors for it. It must be just, you know. Just happens because I'm getting to be 40. But you know, I don't know if that's effect from it or what. But besides high blood pressure and semi-diabetic, you know, I think I live a normal life.
Where do you think the high blood pressure comes from?
Genetics. Mom has high blood pressure. I do. I know my nephew does. You know, I think that part, plus another thing could be is because I probably need to lose about 20 or 30 pounds. That could be also. But my mom, she's not overweight or anything, and she has high blood pressure. My nephew, he's not overweight, and he has high blood pressure.
So do you think it's related to, you know, is it really related? We maybe never be able to prove it.
Yeah.
But do you think
it's possible? I think it's possible.
I worry about your kids.
Yeah.
I do, especially his daughter, you know, because there's a history through grandma with miscarriages. Now I know, you know, the genetics, the further you go down through the generation, it could be remote, but nobody knows. So there might be things that she needs to be aware of and she needs to be more up on. Being genetically linked to a bomb survivor like that, they don't know. Is it passed down through him to her? As far as we know, there's been no problems, but there probably should be some things that she should, you know, be on the watch out for. Especially his daughter.
Don't know.
We don't know. You don't know. All she can do is say, you know,
only hope.
Go to the doctor more and get yourself checked out more, that kind of thing. You don't know. You don't know. It's scary.
Well, and that's another part is that a lot of these symptoms, even with the actual survivors, a lot of these symptoms came as they reached middle age, 30, 40, 45, and that's with a lot of talk I had with Susan Martin.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of things came when she reached 30, 40.
Yes.
And then it's with second generation. So that's happened with, you know, some anecdotal notes that I've heard from people. It's not scientifically proved yet.
Right.
But, you know, so, I mean, how do you feel about that, the fact that you don't know?
It's scary, you know. It is a little bit scary. I tend not to think about it, you know. I just try not to think about it much. You know, I hope that I don't have no symptoms from it, you know, that none of my, you know, I hope that none of my siblings have symptoms of it. The one sibling that I'm worried about a little bit is my older brother. You know, he's 48 years old. He's from Nagasaki. You know, he's actually my cousin. We adopted him when I was younger. That's who I'm mainly worried about on his health-wise. You know, he's been on his own for a long time and not really close to the family. So we don't know if he's, you know, doing good on his health or what. So.
How about Sandra?
Sandra, I keep in touch with. She's. I keep in touch with her a lot because me and Sandra's always been close. Always. And she. You know, her health is okay, but still she's some, like, bone degenerative, what I heard. You know, she don't talk to me much about her health. But, you know, she could have some kind of bone degenerative thing going on.
Which is rare for her age.
Yeah.
Which is way too early.
Yeah. That's about the only thing I know about her, what you call about her health.
I know, but with her occupation, though, that she gets checked out regularly because she's exposed to x-rays. So she's more apt to find something wrong earlier, I believe, is what she was telling me.
Yep.
Because she does, she works with animals, and they do the x-rays all the time, so she has to be, besides the fact that there might be genetic link through her mother, she's checked out a lot. What that means, I don't know. I don't know what they do. I don't know what they found, if they found anything. I don't know. But I know she's more apt to get doctor's help quicker because they do monitor her more
regularly.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what that means, but.
And
I
your
know.
Sons and daughters haven't shown any symptoms?
My kids,
okay.
No.
They've been healthy.
Yeah. My kids been pretty healthy. So the only thing that ever been wrong with my kids is my son had asthma when he was small, like me. So that's normal with most of the kids in the world. So, but they've been pretty healthy.
You don't have, you guys don't have to answer this maybe if you don't feel comfortable, but sometimes that, a lot of times in Japan, first generation survivors, there's a lot of social segregation because it wasn't known. Because back then in 60s, 50s, a lot of things were not known. I mean, we know a little bit more. And people couldn't get married. You know, people thought, you know, if you get married to them, you'll have defected children. And some did in actual cases.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so there was a lot of times, and that's why people left Brazil. And that's why, you know, the people that I listened to in Brazil, a lot of people left Brazil in Japan because they couldn't go to, like Sue, she didn't go to school because, you know, if
stigma.
Mm-hmm. She go to school, they would just bully her. So, I mean, has that type of thing, you know, and then the thing with second generation, the impact of second generations, well, not well known, you know, and it's hard to point out, even if it can be tried. Has that type of thing gone through your mind, or when you guys got married, when you guys met, or when, did you guys talk about that, you know, with this marriage or with your former marriage?
We haven't, no, former marriage, no. My ex-wife knew about that, everything, and you know, thank goodness my twins, they're fine. They're 18 years old now, and they're fine. And some of the stuff I've learned about my mom's past is from what she told me.
And just recently too. It's
yeah,
not
just
been
recently.
Like when we met, you know, he told me, "Oh, my mom was the Nagasaki bomb survivor." Oh, okay. You know, what does that mean? Until I got to know Sue, and more stuff got out, more stuff, she opened up more about it. And by that time, we were married. So it wasn't a matter of, geez, I wonder what kind of impact that could have on us. But, and just recently, within the last year, like I was saying, I started thinking about his kids. You know, from his first marriage, I was, because things have come out with Sue now. Like you said, could be pointed towards that, could be just a matter of, you know, we're getting up in age, I don't know. And that, it was just a natural conclusion for me to go, geez, I hope, you know, the kids are okay, and then him too. But I guess, you know, if we weren't told all this stuff right away and it's starting to come out now, then you start thinking about it. But the initial reaction for me when he said my mom was a bomb survivor was, that's interesting, you know, because my dad was in World War II, but he was
in Europe.
You know, in Europe. So he was even removed from it. So as she's gotten older, she's, you know, given more information about it. And it's like, oh, that's why her leg hurts, or oh, that's why all this stuff might be going on. And then for me personally, it just sort of led to, like, he's never complained about anything when I started thinking about his kids, especially his daughter. But this has all come to be, not like when we first got married and then all this stuff came out. It was just a matter of learning it. As Sue decided to confide in everybody and tell us what happened. So,
what do you think she did that?
You know, I don't know. Maybe too painful. I know when she talks to me about, anytime she talks about her sister, she's not sobbed, but she's cried. And I know that had to be incredibly painful. So, you know, something like that, you wouldn't expect somebody just to sit down and start talking to you about it. And I got the impression the whole trauma with her leg injury, you know, that's something that's painful, and I don't think you would just start talking about it. You would want to make sure you, you know the person you're telling, because it's painful stuff, you know. And now she's going through more stuff, you know, more visits to the hospital, so maybe it's more in her mind now, as opposed to 9 years ago when I first met her. You know, her health issues are building now, so maybe it's more in her mind that this is all attributed to that, and she needs to talk about it. Could be.
Do you think it's good that she talks about it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
It
helps us understand, I think.
Yeah.
And like I said, we, at least with my relationship with her, we don't just sit down and say, okay, we're going to talk about this bomb stuff. It's talking about families and everything, and it just comes about, and it's, for me, it makes me feel closer to her, that she can confide in me and tell me these things. It's on her mind. We're friends, you know, and this has been a relationship that we've built over the years. It's hard to say. I mean, I couldn't, if I went through something like that, I don't think I would say, meet somebody and want to tell them about all this stuff. Maybe she's starting to realize, too, all these, you know, memories are coming to surface. Maybe she's pushed them aside and now they're coming out. I don't know. I couldn't tell you for sure. But I think, as far as me personally, as her daughter-in-law, I think because we've built this trust relationship over the years, maybe she feels like she can confide in me. So that's pretty much what I think.
How about for you, Michael? Has she started telling you more recent years? Or?
She's been telling my wife more, more things. But she's been telling me a little bit, you know, a little bit more about what happened. And I think she wants somebody to know her story, you know? She wants us to know exactly what happened. And I pretty much, before she even started telling me, I pretty much figured in my head, you know, what happened, you know? I can imagine what she went through. Because as I got older, I just, you know, I think about things and kind of went through my mind, you know, what might happen when she told me. You know, it was a little bit more. I didn't know about her not going to school until just now. I just found out about it, and
She had the teacher. She still got her education, but the teacher came to her house.
And she, what you call it? It's to me. I think she just wants the kids to know, her kids to know exactly what happened. You know, and like she said, she's getting older now, and you know. More and more of the memories that she repressed before, held in before, is coming out. And when she's remembering more, she tells us, you know, when she talks to us once in a while, she tells us and confides in us, in her memories.
Should probably ask her.
Do you think it's good for her? Does it help her talk about it?
It's painful for her to talk about it, but I think she wants to know, us to know. I think it's better for her to tell us, so you know we know exactly what happened, her experience, and what happened with her. I think it's better for her. It's basically it's like getting the burden off your shoulders. Relieve the stress off your shoulders. You know, telling your experience.
Mm. I know that you call every day, your mother.
Yeah.
Can you talk about it?
Well, I'm worried about, both of my parents' health, you know. And I call them up, I call her, you know, just to make sure she's okay, she's feeling okay, and stuff like that. Because I worry about my parents. I just went through, in the last few years, I went through both of my in-laws passing away, my father-in-law passing away this year. And, you know, I'm real worried about my mom's health. Like I said earlier, I don't know how much longer I have my mom for. And I ain't shy to say, I'm a mama's boy, you know? And anything happens to my mom, I'm going to be devastated. My life will be devastated because she always backed me no matter what I did, whatever career I chose. And she inspires me to do better.
Me too.
So that's why I call her all the time, make sure she's doing okay.
She's great to talk to. She has mm-hmm. the best stories. The stuff with the bombing, she's told me stories about when she must have been just out of high school or just in that age, right before 20, she worked on a Navy base or Army base and, you know, was learning the language. And naturally, the military men that she befriended, they were teaching her all the swear words and all that stuff. So her stories are just fascinating. And again, with me, you know, it wasn't like we just met. She started telling me all these stories. Just over the years, she's, I would consider... But she considers me a friend and a daughter-in-law, and she's told me these things. I think at this point, with both my in-laws too, you know, I don't want to see her suffer.
Yep.
You know, it's a little bit different. Somebody growing older, and you know, we're not all going to live forever. We all understand that. And like he said, I just lost my mom and my dad. But you don't want to see him suffer. And at this point with my mother-in-law, with Sue, there's a lot of suffering going on there. You know, she would like to be able to come up to Vegas once a month or twice a month or something and come see us and walk the strip and have a good time. But it's just not possible. It's a major ordeal for her to go anywhere right now.
Plus another thing is that, you know, she used to have all her kids and all her grandkids living there in San Diego.
They're
all gone. You know, they don't have nobody now. My sister and her family's in Colorado, my brother's in Arizona, and I'm over here. And my kids was living in Oregon. Now they're in the military. They don't got nobody now. And I know they miss their grandkids and their kids. And even my dad told me my mom's missing, you know, she's not doing too good. She misses the grandkids. She cries. She misses the family. And, you know, that's why I try to call her all the time, make sure she's okay, talk to her, you know, so she knows that I'm thinking of her. So she's not that lonely, you know. I try to talk them into moving down here to Vegas.
Still trying.
I might have my dad convinced, but.
But see, even something like that, they have to consider, is there going to be a hospital available? Is she going to be able to get the same care that she does in San Diego? Are they going to, wherever they move, is everything going to be convenient for all of her needs?
Yep.
So it's not a matter of, let's sell the house and move to Vegas, which normally people could do that. You know, they're retired, they have some equity, they could do that. But it's not that simple. And this all relates to all the things
medical
that Sue has been through.
You
know, any place they go, is there a hospital close by? You know, could she get her meds if she needs it? You know, is she going to be okay on the trip? And all, I think all this is, you know, all related to that day when that bomb went off. It's not, you know, they're a retired couple and they should be able to pick up and leave and do whatever they want to, but it's not that easy with them, which we fully understand, but we're hoping to talk them into moving up here.
That's why I'm researching all the hospitals and stuff over here.
Yeah, it's a major ordeal.
I mean, I have an Air Force base right here, right across from where we live, that has a hospital, but the question I'm trying to ask some of the military people is what type of hospital it is and stuff like that. Because they got a great hospital, Balboa Naval Hospital in San Diego. You know, my dad's retired military, so my mom could go there. And it's...
And her history's there, and the doctors know her, so everything's, you know, even a little vacation, everything's got to be really planned out according to what she needs. You know, it's just, it's a difficult burden, you know, when they should be able to pick up and just go, you know.
Tell me a little bit about Lonnie and how your father has come to cope with some of the difficulties. It must be very difficult. And I've been very impressed, I mean, you know, with his commitment to his life.
I mean, he's been her rock. There's nothing he wouldn't do for my mom. There's nothing. I mean, sometimes, you know, all the stuff that's going on, you know, he gets a little upset and stuff, and he calls me and we talk, you know. Especially when my mom gets a little bit mad because, you know, she misses the kids. You know, she's sick and she misses the kids. There's nobody there, you know. And he talks to me and, you know, I tell him, hey, she's getting older. You know, just take things one day at a time, you know. And that's what he does. You know, he makes sure she has her medicine, makes all her appointments. He's just, they've been together now for 40 years. They've been married. And they love each other too much. You know, and there's nothing he wouldn't do for her, like I said. You know, I know he's a little bit, I know he's not regret, but he wishes when I was younger that he could spend more time with the family when he was in the Navy going out to sea a lot. You know, and when my mom had to hold the family together. And now it's his turn, you know. My mom did that for many years when he was in the Navy. And now it's his turn, you know, took care of the family. Now it's his turn, you know, and he's doing a good job.
You know, he gets frustrated with the unknown, too.
He does.
He just, because I talk to him on the computer all the time, and I talk to him once a day at least, and he gets really frustrated. He's like, you know, her blood pressure's up and down, I don't know what to do, you know, and they rush her to the doctor, rush her to the hospital, she's there for days, they can't figure out what's going on, or, you know, whatever's going on. He gets frustrated because nobody's giving him any answers. You know, if he can give me an answer, then we can fix it. That's the type of guy he is. You give me an answer, I'll do whatever you need to do. I'll fix it. I'll help her. But there's never any answers. He gets really frustrated, which I can understand. I can totally understand that. Yeah, but like my husband said, he's totally devoted to her and helps care for her and make sure she's doing what she needs to do.
Yeah, that commitment.
Because I remember she came back from the hospital when my son wasn't there yet. When my nephew, DL, was there, and my dad, they came back from fishing one time late at night, well, during the evening, and my mom, which just came back from the hospital not too long. My mom was real tired. She didn't get no, she was in the hospital for a couple of days and didn't get no sleep. And they came home, they looked in the bedroom to make sure she's okay. She's over there with her legs hanging down from the bed, laying down, and her eyes were still open. I mean, he almost had a heart attack. He thought she passed away, both of them. You know, and he, after, you know, she woke up, and he called me right away. He said that scared the living daylights out of them. They might have lost her. I could tell by his voice that scared the living daylights out of him. And he likes to take his little fishing trips once a week, you know. That's the only time he really leaves my mom. You know, that's his time off for good behavior. You know, that's his treat for the week, is go out fishing because he loves fishing. But rest of the time he devotes his time to my mom. You know, whatever she needs. So I mean, he's a lot stronger than me right now, you know, for doing that, you know. No, there's nothing I wouldn't.
Oh, you're a lot like.
There's nothing I wouldn't do for my mom. There's nothing. I mean, if she's really seriously sick in the hospital, my boss even knows. I'll drop what I'm doing and I'll go. And my boss understands that. And that's what I like about the employer I have right now. He understands that. He understands what I'm going through. So, I guess I got the same mentality as my dad. You know, there's nothing I would do for my family. I wouldn't do. There's nothing. And like I said, she's everything to me. If I have to move back down to San Diego for a few months, you know, to help them out, I'd do it. In a heartbeat. And my wife's behind me all the way on that one. And I just wonder how he don't go crazy with doctors not knowing what's going on with my mom.
It's
the fact, yeah, like my wife said, the factor of not knowing why her blood pressure's at 200 and something, or in one day, and next day it's real low, then it's normal, mm-hmm. and doctors can't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that just drives me crazy.
And she's been to specialist after specialist, because oddly enough, her main primary physician was my father's primary physician, so I kind of
talked. Which
was
a friend of the family's primary physician.
Right, and so I kind of had a talk with him, and he's like, oh yeah, I know Sue Carpenter. He goes, I can't figure out what's going on with her. He's like, I'm sending her to every specialist I can think of. So, you know, it's not knowing.
I mean, even the Dr. Lee, he came and figured out what's going on.
Dr. Lin.
He's a primary healthcare physician.
He was my wife's father's doctor, friend of the family, Miss Yuki Creel, who passed away this year, her primary doctor.
And my stepmother. My mother-in-law. He takes care of all of them.
So, now that, I mean, all those things, I mean, in a way, all those unknown factors, things could have, probably, I mean, in a way, yes, have, it's a direct result of what happened 61 years ago, of that 11:02 a.m. And now that we have, should we get it?
No, I get it.
Is it probably them? So now that we have 20,000 of them, all over, I mean, a lot around here.
Around the world and everything, yeah.
Around the world, and everybody wants to have them. And nobody's talking about what it means to human, what it means to family, and those little things.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about it?
Well, I think the people need to know, people need, the world needs to know what the family feels about, what happened, what they're going through and stuff. I think they need to not know, they need to understand, what's going on. I hope, more of the families that that went through what my mom been through, they come out and open up, and let people know, their experiences in their life, If you don't tell other people the experience you've been through in your life, how would they learn? You can't learn, you learn more from other people's experience, your experience and other people's experience in life. And when you learn, it just makes you a better person. More understanding, sometimes more compassionate, in life. And I think that's the only way people's going to learn to know what happened, is by the people that experience it to come out and tell people and their family.
And how about as an American? As an American, a citizen of the country that has the most number of weapons and continue to create more weapons?
Well, I don't agree on the, what's going on in the world right now with the weapons of mass destruction. I believe they should cut it down, but you cut down on your weapons of mass destruction here, then other countries like Iran, Korea and stuff, they start building more and stockpiling more and more. It's ridiculous. I think all the countries should unite. I personally believe in world peace. That's how I grew up. In my religion, everything, I grew up, believing in world peace. And I just think they should just get rid of all the bombs, long-range missiles and stuff like that. You know, if you don't, no country has it, there's no need to have it for self-defense or retaliation. You know, that's my personal belief. That's how I feel. And that's even for me being ex-military. So, what about you?
It's not as easy just to put in a couple sentences. I don't know. I have to really think about it. How do I feel about our nuclear capability in this country? I don't know.
It's scary.
Yeah, I'd have to really think about it.
It's scary. You know, you could be here one day, next day, you're gone. We have enough missiles right now in the world to blow up the whole Earth. Who knows how many times over?
But we're so removed from that. You know, even though it happened only 6 years ago, and it could happen right now, and we could lose every entire things that we love, the people we love. But we're so removed. I mean, just it's not part of our reality at the same time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that just, you know, it's something that I'm always struggling with. What can I do it? To bring that sense of, not the fear, but sense of urgency that we need to talk about this.
Yeah.
We need to look at those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I personally feel that they, you know, like it's not feasible for it to happen, nuclear strikes. You know, yeah, I can't see it happening, but you get the, what you call, you get nuclear weapons in the wrong, you know, the wrong hands.
Doesn't make sense, but it could happen.
Yeah.
Wait, and it did.
Yes.
I mean, this very country made it, did it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was no term called terrorism back then.
Right, exactly.
Killing 70,000 people with one bomb is...
Right.
Yeah. It's just sad. It's just sad. I just feel that we should get rid of all the nuclear weapons. No, it's hard to explain. Really hard to explain. I just don't believe in the nuclear weapons. Nuclear should be used for power. You know, powering up the cities and stuff like that. But not as a means of mass destruction. No. No, I was on a USS Eisenhower aircraft carrier. It was a nuclear power carrier. And when I was in Europe,
I don't understand it, but that's
when I was in the some parts of Europe, yeah, we had demonstrations against us with Greenpeace and stuff like that. You know, but that's I could see the pros and cons on ships and stuff using nuclear power, because that's a cheaper source of fuel instead of and pollution than using steam, old steam powered and stuff.
It creates the ingredients for nuclear weapon.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's the only thing. Yeah.
That's what it all leads to.
That's where all leads to.
Cycle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not believe in nuclear weapons. I just don't.
Yeah, when does it stop?
Yeah, when will it stop?
We have 10. Well, no, we have 11. No, we have 12. I mean, what's
yeah,
the
all
end point?
The, all
blow
the,
up the Earth? Called,
you know, it used to be only the carriers that have the nuclear power source. Now they even got cruisers and stuff that's getting to be nuclear.
Mm-hmm.
Completely nuclear. You know, when is it going to, like she said, when is it going to stop? Yeah, we don't know.
And her little tail was whipping around.
Yeah.